everybody. Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to an episode of Foodie and the Beast with me, Nikki Nellis. I am Beastless today. My husband, David, is in Chicago because he's vaccinated. So once you get vaccinated, you get to travel. So if you haven't been vaccinated, get that appointment and get that shot in your arm, because it is life-changing to feel and live like how we used to, still with a mask, still socially distanced, still use hand sanitizer. But I'm very excited for today's show. A couple of things before I dig into who's going to be on the show. First of all, the Michelin Guide dropped their announcement on Thursday. A little bit of discontent around the DC metro area about whether or not the Michelin stars should be dropped. But Michelin was like, yeah, we don't care what you think. We're dropping them anyway. And what's really fascinating is they dropped their plate awards, their bib awards, their star awards, and they have a new green star award. The Michelin Guide celebrated the resiliency and culinary talent in DC with 23 starred restaurants, 41 Bib Gourmand Awards, and this new Green Star, which I believe is the very first one, and that went to the incredible Patrick O'Connell at the Inn at Little Washington. So if you want to see who got what and who didn't, you can check it out on the list or you want it.com. And let's get into this week's show. So Esteve Salgado is president and owner of Tradewind Specialty Imports. It's a company that specializes in boutique-style family wine, spirit, cider, and craft beer. Now, he was educated alongside a first-generation winemaker, and he has an incredible education and expertise, and he picks out amazing wines, several of which I have here today. So we're going to talk to him in a bit. And did you buy an Instapot during COVID and have no idea what to do with it? I'm raising my hand. That would be me. Chef Paula Scheuer, known as the Kosher Baker, she's back on the show. She has her fifth book, The Instant Pot Kosher Cookbook. She has tips and recipes, and she's going to explain it all to us. And for those of you sick of cooking, and I know there's a lot of you out there, John Agri is behind the Dindin. This is a pandemic pivot company, and it pairs locally based meal prep, meal delivery with neighborhood chefs. It's such a cool concept, and it is blowing up. And lastly, they say it's all in the family, and this one is on so many levels. Danny Karnoff is founder of MAPT. This is a locally sourced global foods brand, and it specializes in really interesting cuisines and unique ingredients in ready-to-cook meals. And not only can you find Danny at Central Farm Markets, she also happens to be my cousin. So it's a little bit of both on the show, a little bit of nepotism. I'm very excited to have her. But first, Mitch Berliner is here from Central Farm Markets. Mitch, how are you? Tell us what's going on at the market.
Well, thanks for having me. We see the blood pressure is lower without the beast. We wish him safe travels. And I will just add my political statement. Be a good patriot. Get your shot.
Hear.
Be a patriot. Anyway, just want to tell you that yesterday, Pike Central Farm Market opened. We were busy. It was wonderful. We have more farmers and artisan food producers than ever. And it was a wonderful opening. So come on out if that's a closer market or easy for you. That's on Saturdays. Big, big, big news in Bethesda today. First strawberries and plenty of them. And rhubarb. And so
it seems really early for strawberries and rhubarb. Like rhubarb and strawberries are May. Those are May eats. Am I wrong?
The answer is depends on the weather. It has been a little chilly, but what we've done on purpose is we've diversified geographically where our farm is from. So this is agriberry, and they're way on the northern neck of Virginia. So the temperatures are moderated by the water there. And of course it's more south. So they were actually a little surprised. They picked 100 flats of strawberries. So get in your car, folks, if you're not at the market, and come on down and get some.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like those kinds of straw. I mean, this is not like what you buy in the grocery store. They're totally like a different texture and a different flavor. They're so good.
Well, there's no question. The problem with supermarket stuff in general, but in particular, as you mentioned, strawberries, tomatoes, they have to pick them green. They don't have much shelf life. They don't they don't travel well across thousands of miles. So getting the local strawberries, that's really sort of the kickoff of the season. I can also report that Meat Crafters has had a lot of demand for an all beef product for those people that don't want to eat pork. So we now have at Meat Crafters a beef, all beef salami, and it's fabulous.
Really
good. And we also have plenty of plants now to put in your garden and herbs. We have a lot of farmers, huge, huge choice. So come on down, get your gardens going, even if you only have a deck.
Excellent. All right, Mitch, tell everybody, please, where they can find Central Farm Markets.
I will indeed. So first, the easiest thing to remember is go to Central Farm Markets. That's plural, centralfarmmarkets.com. And you can find all three of our markets, our two year-round markets. One is Nova on the parking lot of the Church of the Holy Comforter in Vienna. Then we have our flagship oldest market going on our 16th season. Boy, am I old. And that's in the parking lot of Bethesda Elementary School. That's every Sunday, also year-round. And as I just mentioned earlier, Pike at Pike and Rose on the parking lot of the REI parking lot. So
great, Mitch.
Us, folks.
Great. Thanks so much, Mitch. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Okay, up next is Esteve Salgado with Tradewinds. Hey, Esteve, how are you?
Hey, Nikki. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. So, Esteve, let's talk about Tradewinds specialty imports. What is the concept in general of your wine business?
Yeah, before I jump in, I have my mouth salivating with all that food talk that you guys just told
right?
me. And it's I might have to go to the farmer's market and get some.
I know,
some
you're
fresh
not
strawberries.
Far from there.
Yeah, no,
that
no,
is
no.
amazing.
So, and a little bit about myself. I came here, I guess, 19 years ago now, so a few years back, and started a company importing wines. I'm originally from San Sebastian, so you're talking about Michelin stars. I think if you're a foodie, you might know San Sebastian because it's a very food-centric place in the world.
Right.
But that's how I got passionate about food, wine, and started my own import company, specializing, like you said, in boutique wines, mostly farmers, just like farm to table for food. We do some similar thing with the wine concept, right? So we work with small farmers that own their own vines, and
But how do you go about, because I think for people, so you only do Spanish wines?
No.
Or you expand?
No. We started with Spanish wines. That's how I got my, I guess, foot in the door. And that's what I knew. That's, you know, how I got passionate about. Then South America was the second part, Argentina, Chile. And I have to say both of those countries with, you know, the new Latin American concepts and everything coming out on board are fantastic wines, not just, you know, Cabernets or Sauvignon Blancs or anything like that. And then also, I mean, we have some great domestic wines and ciders. One of the ones that I always mention is Brooklyn Cider House up in New Paltz, which is beautiful countryside up here. Not that far, but, you know, a few
right.
hours north. But and then, I mean, who doesn't have French wines, right? I was very hesitant for a long time being, you know, oh, no, French. But of course. Yeah. Great.
So how do you go about doing that? Because, you know, you've got these huge importers here, right, sure. that are bringing in the big wines. But they work with companies that have or wine companies, I should say, that have more money. So how do you find these smaller producers and I mean, basically you're helping them, you help them bring their wines to market. So how do you go about doing that?
So pre-pandemic, I used to travel quite a little bit. So my job sure, like wouldn't tell to, yeah, I mean, traveled to Spain, maybe some, you know, Europe, South America, you get wine first. They're all over the world and everything. Not to make a long story short, but I was in the airport in March traveling to Germany last year when everything shut down.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So, last year, definitely, you know, curve of learning in terms of the entire world. And also, like, our business is satisfying, you know, many of the Michelin restaurants that you mentioned. I'm sure a lot of other restaurants in the DC metro area at the end of the day. So, you know, that has been, you know, challenging for them and for us as well, right?
But so how did you pivot? So if you were getting these amazing wines, okay, so you had multiple issues. So you're bringing in these amazing wines, the world is shut down. That's number one. Yeah. Number two, you service restaurants. Restaurants aren't ordering wines. Mm-hmm. So how did you pivot during this time?
I drank a lot at home. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. And you didn't send me any? Okay.
Yeah. We did a lot of, so we have a bunch of retail partners as well. You know, mm-hmm. Gran Cata, Decanter, Schneider's, with some of the Rodmans and mm-hmm. a lot of them. And those saw a little bit of growth. I mean, like you said earlier, everybody was cooking at home. Everybody's drinking at home. Trying to pivot also to, so last year I started thinking on how we can identify ourselves or like go a little bit like beyond what we do, right? And mm-hmm. trying to come up with an online idea, which is still in the works, but it's still like on the restaurant and business side, I would say we were lucky enough to have great partners in the retail world. And then honestly, I mean, it seems small, but a few of the restaurants that have been like, you know, they changed a few, like in DC, as you know, they were able to like serve wine to their customers to go and stuff like
that. Sell wine. Yeah. And I think that's going to stay around. I mean, I think that could be for you and for the restaurants, like this other revenue source.
Correct.
That a lot of people did not see happening. Hey, Esteve, you know what? Let's take a quick break. When we come back, you did send me some gorgeous wines, a rosé, in fact, my favorite. So when we come back, let's talk about this winery, why you sent it to me. And we'll dig in a little bit. Awesome. This is Nikki Nellis. It's Foodie and the Beast. I'll be back in just a sec. And we're back on Foodie and the Beast with Nikki Nellis. Yes, David still exists. He's just not here today. And so I'm talking with Esteve Salgado of Tradewind Specialty Imports. He brings in really fascinating boutique wines to restaurants and stores in the DC metro area. And Esteve, you sent me this wine.
Rayan, yes.
Rayan, tell me a little bit about it. You sent me a rosé and you sent me a red. Tell me about this wine and why this is a great example of the kinds of wines that you carry.
So that's a small winery right outside Madrid area in Spain. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Adrian mentioned, Nikki, I guess how it started, most of the wines that we have are organically grown vines, right? Like organic, sustainable, all that. And that's the one that you have on your hand. It's one of them that is a great example. The rosé, DC is the rosé capital of the world, right? Or
right.
The US. So, they make fantastic rosés. Arrayán in general is one of my favorites. Dearly in my heart, I found it randomly. Somebody recommended it, and I was like, "I don't Madrid wines, you know. I don't know, you know, maybe Rioja, like something." And I tasted them, and they were like, they were also revitalizing vines from that region, right? So it wasn't like international. Like they had some of them, but some of them that were not Garnachas, Grenache. At the end of the day. That's mm-hmm. their main grape that they grow. And I went to visit them, fell in love. I don't know.
Let me ask you, can we buy these wines directly from you or do we have to go to your purveyors to get wines? What's the best way for the lay person to access the wines that Tradewinds carries?
So, like I said, we're working on something that is direct to consumer nationwide and everything like that. But I think that has it's going to be a few months ahead.
Okay.
And right now, like I said, also great partners, Rodman's, Grand Cata, Cork 57 here in Bethesda, Arrow Wine in Arlington. If you go down to Richmond, I guess.
How do people know that they're your wines?
If they have a chance to take a look at the bottle in the back,
it says Tradewind. It
says Tradewind, selected by Esteve. Usually.
Yes.
Usually.
Okay. All right, Esteve. Tell everybody where they can find you online, please. And when you guys launch nationally, let us know. We'll bring you back on.
Perfect. Tradewindsspecialty.com and tradewindsearth.com. So those are the two websites. Thank you for having me, Nikki, by the way.
Thank you, Esteve.
Okay. Weekend.
So I don't know about you and what you were cooking during the pandemic. I mean, I know we're still in it. But a lot of people were buying different appliances and trying to do different things to shake up their cooking. One of them being an Instant Pot. And with me today is Chef Paula Scheuer. She's been on the show before. You know her as the Kosher Baker. She's got her fifth cookbook, and it is the Instant Pot Kosher Cookbook. Hi, Paula. How are you?
Hi, Nikki. Great to be with you. I wish we could be there in person because you know if I come to the studio, I bring you food.
I know, and I'm hungry. So, okay, let's just get into this, Paula, because I have so many questions. What is an Instant Pot? What's the difference between an Instant Pot and a pressure cooker and a Dutch oven? Like, there's all these appliances out there. What are the differences?
Okay, so an Instant Pot is a pressure cooker. Okay, mm-hmm. So unlike the pressure cookers of the past that people would use on the stovetop that had a reputation for causing problems and exploding, this is an electric pressure cooker. So everything is contained inside the unit. You just plug it in. And it basically cooks food really, really quickly. It uses less energy, less water, and everything is in one bowl. So you have like one thing to clean at the end. Yes, you could cook a stew in the oven, in your Dutch oven or on your stovetop. But what the Instant Pot does is that it cooks like meat to super moist in about 35, 40 minutes. You can make split pea soup in about 20 minutes. You know, that was one of the first recipes I ever made. It makes rice. For people who have small kitchens or don't have, you know, the money to buy lots of different pots and pans, the Instant Pot could replace so many of the items that you would normally have in your kitchen.
So what is the Instant Pot doing? Like when you say it's pressure cooking, like what does that mean? Like what is happening inside that, you know, a stew that would normally sit on my stove for, you know, 3 hours gets done in 45 minutes or whatever?
So think about, you put your pot of chicken soup on the stovetop, and even if you turn it on to hot, it's going to take a while to really, really heat up. So even though the Instant Pot does have time to pressure, and when I first started making Instant Pot recipes, people would say, oh, this recipe takes 5 minutes, but then it would take 10 minutes to come to pressure. And I'm thinking, that's not 5 minutes, that's 15. So in the book, I write down time to pressure on every recipe, but it comes to pressure reasonably quickly. Sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's 15. It could be as much as 20, depending on the volume you have inside. But then once it comes to pressure, it cooks really quickly, and then your food is done faster.
So it's just like this intense thing happening inside.
One of the other nice features about the Instant Pot, it has a saute feature, which a traditional pressure cooker and a crock pot don't have. So you could sear your meat. You could saute your onions, your aromatics for soup before you add other things. Then you'll add your liquid and other ingredients, and then you cook it. I always joke that during the pandemic, we all feel like a carrot thrown into an Instant Pot, where you feel like the instant pressure. And then you look around, there's other vegetables, so you're not alone. But then you have liquid and food, and you're locked in, and the pressure builds up. And then eventually the pressure comes down and you're let out. So I always say, like, at its best, we're on the warm setting, where we're at this new normal of discomfort. And at its worst, we're all being fully pressure cooked.
That's so funny. So now, how did you get into Instant Pot cooking? I mean, was this something you grew up doing? Because like, I did not grow up with one. I've never had one. I know nothing about it. Like, I just sort of
I just sort of neither. Saw it. My mother never had a pressure cooker, so I knew nothing about it. And I have to say, I was kind of late to the Instant Pot game. Fans of my other four cookbooks kept asking me for Instant Pot recipes, and I had nothing to offer them. And, you know, I'm kosher, so my kitchen is full of so many pots and pans and dishes, separate milk, meat.
Right, because you have two of everything, right?
Two of everything. So I'm thinking, do I need another appliance to take up real estate in my kitchen? Is it going to be meat? Is it going to be dairy? Is it going to be dairy-free? So I finally gave in and got it. I made the split pea soup. I made Korean short ribs and rice, and I was hooked. And I learned about a kosher Instant Pot Facebook group, which back then had over 8,000 members, realized that they didn't like that people were posting recipes that still had to be adjusted kosher. And I realized that this group needed a cookbook. I mean, Nikki, I had used the device three times, wrote a book proposal, sent it to my publisher, and they're like,
they were like, write this book.
So that Facebook group now has 14,700 members. Wow. And it's growing all the time. So I knew that some trends come a little bit later to the Jewish kosher community, but I knew that this was on the upswing. And so far the book
Paula, can I just break in for a second for those who don't keep kosher? Can you explain, or who just know like the bare minimum? Like, can you explain why people would be like, can you kosher this recipe for an Instapot? Like what is it that needs to be done?
Okay, so two things. One, kosher people do not mix milk and meat in the same recipe or at the same meal. So like I would not have a butter-based dessert after eating a steak. So because we have to separate milk and meat, we have separate utensils for everything. So that means pots and pans, small appliances, you know, silverware, utensils. So we have to keep all of that separate. So if I'm going to use an Instant Pot, you know, I can't use it for meat and milk. So I have two meat ones and one dairy one. I had to do that to write the book. But I use them. I think I use my Instant Pot every day. Yesterday, I think I made four recipes in my Instant Pot just for my for the weekend. You know, I made hummus. I made a soup.
So what changes in the recipe? For example, like let's take pea soup. Like what changes in that recipe to make it kosher?
So. Okay, for like if I was making split pea soup, I would not make it like if a recipe would classically have ham in it, we're not going to use ham. So we have to substitute maybe some other kind of a smoked meat. Sometimes people will use like there's kosher bacon now or a pastrami or something else, some other smoked meat to replace that.
Okay, kosher bacon. What is kosher bacon?
I know. It's like it's not from a pig, it's either they do it like turkey or beef or lamb and they cure it like bacon. It's literally a godsend, I have to say. Love it. It's a great contribution to kosher cuisine. So that's been really fun. And some recipes like a cream soup, like a leek and potato soup might have milk in it, but you might think I want to serve this at my meat-based meal. So like in my book, I soak cashews in water and make a cashew cream to replace cream. And then you do that. So
you're stealing from the plant-based people on that one, because that's a plant-based trick, right?
Oh, the plant-based people, we love them. In fact, like the gluten-free, which is like we all use for Passover. And then the dairy-free world is basically, you know, what we use in our daily cooking. So in the book, I have like, you know, if you were vegan or dairy-free, lactose intolerant, you would find a ton of recipes you could have in this book. So there's lots of weekday recipes as well as like, you know, kind of classic Jewish favorites, international trends. Israeli food is really popular. So I included that as well. So I try to have
something Israeli food is really popular because Israeli food is really delicious. But I mean, Israeli food is really like also speaks to like food that you find in other regions in that area. You know what I mean? Like
the 100%.
Hummus. The salads, like the dips, all that kind of stuff.
And I do a lot of that in the Instant Pot. Like I cooked my chickpeas for my hummus in the Instant Pot yesterday.
Wow. And what is the difference in texture or flavor, or is it just a time-saving device?
Well, if it is time-saving, because to cook chickpeas on the stovetop take forever, this still takes a while in the Instant Pot, but using raw chickpeas versus the canned, it is a different flavor. It's a great flavor. My chicken soup in the Instant Pot has a deeper flavor. My chicken stews, my meat stews, it's so much more moist, like melt in your mouth, moist, than it is salmon in the Instant Pot. It's so buttery smooth. So yeah, I think there are, yes, if you want something roasted in the oven, you're not going to get that in Instant Pot. But I have chicken wings in the recipe. I steam the chicken wings in the Instant Pot, and then I broil them with everything bagel spice and barbecue sauce, just 5 minutes each side in the oven. So like you can take anything from the Instant Pot and then like blast it in your broiler for a bit to get the
crisp it up.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. So Paula, just tell us quickly, we have 1 minute left. What I know you do a ton of virtual cooking classes. I know you do all these things. How can we find what you're doing? How can we get this book? Like what's next for you?
Okay, so you can always find me through thekosherbaker.com and ask me any questions about baking, cooking, Jewish cooking, French pastry, and Instant Pot cooking now. Please buy the book from an independent bookstore if you can, the Instant Pot Kosher Cookbook, but you can also find it from the big sellers online, Barnes & Noble and Amazon. I've taught 157 virtual cooking classes, so I'm always scheduling more classes. I do lots of private classes. I do classes for teenagers where they cook dinner for their parents after school, and that's been so much fun. So, and I'm on Instagram at Kosher Baker. So please find me and share with me like what you want to learn, and I'm happy to post more recipes all the time.
Excellent. Paula Scheuer, Kosher Baker, thanks so much for joining us. This is Nikki Nellis. It's Foodie and the Beast. So now you know what to cook at home. Up next, we're going to talk about maybe bringing some food in. We'll be right back. And we're back on Foodie and the Beast. Yeah, I am beastless. He's away in Chicago. That's because he got vaccinated, people. Get vaccinated. Then you can travel. That's how this works. Of course, you still need to mask up, hand sanitize, and socially distance because that's the proper thing to do. But you do have just me today, and I'm really excited about our next guest. So John Agray launched this business during the pandemic. It's called Din Din. And I'm not even going to explain it to you because it's got some really incredible components that puts different people who were not able to find work during the pandemic and got them working. And it's such a brilliant idea. I'm going to bring John in. Hey, John, how are you?
Good. How are you this afternoon?
I'm great. Thank you. So, John, Din Din, tell us about where your head was during the pandemic and how you came up with this concept.
Yeah, thanks a lot. So we're looking at last summer. So I incorporated in August 20th, to be exact, right? So we're less than a year old. And like everybody else, we're reading the front pages of the newspapers from here to Oakland, California. Restaurants have been slammed. Chefs are out of work. There's no rescue capital coming in to relieve them. You know, the chefs that are marquee brands were doing okay, right? The Bobby Flays of the world, you know, the Jose Andreases, the Wolfgang Pucks, but not the everyday chef, right? The folks that are on the front lines, cooking the meals for us that we all enjoy so much. And so they're sitting on the couch and I'm thinking, what can I do to help? And so Din Din was born out of that sort of back of the napkin thought process. And I wanted to come up with a catchy name. And so when we were growing up, if I lived next door to you, Nikki, and we went out and played, my mom would ask me, where was I going? And I'd say, I'm hanging out with Nikki. And she'd say, fine, just make sure you were home in time for Din Din. And we knew what that meant, right? That meant either coming over to my house for dinner or we're coming over to your house, and our parents would make sure that everything was fine at 6 p.m. and there'd be this comfort food that would be prepared, right? While everybody in the family sort of catches up on the day. So I wanted something that brought us back out of this pandemic into a bygone era where food was central to building community. And what we're doing at Din Din essentially is very simple. We're an online platform. Think of us like a concierge virtual food court. And we are aggregating displaced chefs, and we're allowing them to be micro entrepreneurs, and they're cooking the same meals that they were cooking pre-pandemic when they were working for a restaurant, but they're doing it for themselves out of ghost kitchens around town, right? And then what we do is we take the friction out of that whole experience from buyer to seller. So what they want to do is cook. What they don't want to do is to find you as a customer, to collect the order, to collect the payment, right? To box the meals, and then to get in their car and drive it over to you. They don't want to do any of that. All they want to do is cook you that veal parmesan. So what we do it as a dual marketplace is to handle all of that other friction.
Okay, so let's dig in a little bit on that, because are we talking about only restaurant chefs? Are these also personal chefs? Because I've been to your website. You have a you have a whole list of different cooks and chefs. Are most of them actual restaurant chefs, or are they also personal chefs, which are chefs, but it's just a different genre?
It turns out that we did 58 focus groups between August and October, just to get a sense on both sides of the marketplace where the pain points were. And it turns out that food truck operators, chefs that have been displaced from restaurants and are sitting on the sidelines, caterers, catering companies.
Caterers got decimated.
Decimated, right? Uh-huh. So they are all coming to us and saying, this is a great idea. We'd love to participate. And so we've signed up a couple of catering companies that are doing very well. We've signed up a bunch of individual personal chefs that have been displaced. We're onboarding some folks now that are doing desserts only or vegan only. We're going to be adding cocktails. You know, folks are asking for cocktails. It's just been a very interesting experience. The mobile app for both iOS and Android was only launched like three and a half months ago. And we already have like 1,124 families signed up.
Wow. So how does it work? So walk me through it. So I want to be a chef. So let's say I'm a cook. My restaurant is not reopening. I get in touch with you. How do I want to cook my food. How do I tell you my menu? How do I find out where to cook? And how do you box it up and deliver it? And am I just making a one night dinner, or am I making meals for the week? Like how, what is the structure? How does it work?
Great question. So we have a whole team. I can't,
John, just to be clear, I am full of great questions. That's why I'm over here, but go ahead.
Your reputation precedes you. So, yes. So we've got a great team in house, and what we decided we do is create a playbook called FACEX. F like Frank, A-C-E-X. It really, it's an acronym for Food Accelerator Culinary Experience. And it's the playbook that we give to a chef that wants to come on board and be part of this, that walks them through everything from food hygiene, sanitation, your permitting, how we box the meals, the temperature that the meals need to come in, the proper labeling. It just gives you the whole run of show, what you need to be in order to be din-din worthy. We don't want any jackleg chefs that are winging it, right? Everything is postalized because we're err on the side of caution and hygiene and safety. And so that's what we do. And then there's a whole onboarding team that onboards you, holds your hand, and makes sure that you upload the meals and the pictures in the right way, and that you price and do portion control the right way.
Yeah, because I would think portion control is a big deal, and pricing it properly is a big deal. Okay, so that's how the chef works, right? And you really do hold their hand. I think that is that's such a gift, right? Especially for people who are like, oh my God, I don't know how I'm gonna do this. It's so great that you give them a system so that it's super easy for them to do. Okay, now I'm an eater and I want to use your app or website, and how do I do this? Talk me through it.
Right. So we have two eaters. We have the consumer and we have the business, because we do catering events. We've done catering events for universities, several universities in town. We've done events for corporations who want to do something for their employees, right? So we will work with them to curate a menu, and then the chefs will prepare the menu, and then we will deliver it to the employees at their homes. And then the staff can get on a Zoom meeting, whether it's an employee appreciation or whether they just want to have a weekly conference, just to stay connected with their employees. So we've done probably a dozen of those. We've done a couple for associations as well. So in that case, you reach out to our company, and we have a whole catering team that walks you through curating the menu. On the consumer side, you download our app, either on Android or iOS, and then you create your account. It's a free account. And then you just peruse the website. And what we do is we have a $60 food minimum. So what you're doing is you're not buying food on demand, Nikki. You're buying food in the future. This is meal prep, meal delivery. So you're thinking intentionally about what your meal for your family is going to look like for next week. At scale. And we allow, we sort of Instacart it, if I may use that term, multiple chefs, multiple meals in this box curated for you and then deliver it to you.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. So is it possible, like, let's say I want to order for next Friday, but I want to order from one chef. My husband wants to order from another and my daughter wants to order from another. Can we do that?
We encourage that. That's part of the magic, right? So you're going into this food court. Right now we have, what, 80, 90 different meals up there. Your daughter might be 100% vegan. You might be fine with eating non-vegan food, but you want it gluten-free. Your husband is a red meat carnivore. You could pick and choose what you want, and then we will sort of Instacart, if I may use that term, in this box and make sure that it's properly packaged under 41 degrees and then get it delivered to you. We only deliver on Wednesdays and Sundays now as we're wrapping up. Someday it'll be 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, but we deliver on Wednesdays and Sundays. And then what happens is you got to order your meals for Wednesday by Sunday evening at 8:00.
Okay.
And if you want to be, you know, if you want to deliver it on Sunday, it has to be ordered by Thursday evening at 8:00. And the reason for that is because everything is cooked fresh to order, right? So our chefs need to know how many meals, how many ingredients they're going to have to buy from the store, and then schedule the preparation of those meals. This is not frozen food. This is coming to you
eat
and serve at scale.
Okay, so when we get the food, it's good to eat. I don't have to get a pan. I don't have to do anything like that.
Just heat and serve.
Okay, so it is just heat and serve. I think that's really interesting. The other component, which you have not mentioned, is the use of your delivery system and where your delivery system came from. I'm not going to tell everybody. I'll let you tell everybody because I think it's cool.
We have one of the things that came out of our focus groups is that chefs really do not like the whole DoorDash, Grubhub, Uber Eats experience, because as you've read in the news, they take, you know, 15, 20, 25% off the top, which is basically taking their margins. So we've partnered with Reston Limo, Christina Bueri, who is a wonderful friend. She's on my board. She's committed to Din Din. She's dedicated 70 of her fleet to this enterprise. And so that's our third party delivery. So if you want a concierge, upscale, premium meal prep experience, we're the best game in town, where the chefs are first rate. 100% of the meal price goes to the chef, by the way, in our model. So if you see that the meal is $15, the entire $15 goes to the chef. We charge a small transaction fee on top of it. And then Reston Limo does the delivery. So you've got a professional in a limousine bringing your red Din Din box. It's really, really cool. I think our customers love it. And we can't thank Reston Limo enough. They've been terrific.
Well, I think that's it, but it was really ingenious, because I'm sure the limo business wasn't doing so well, you know, at the height of the pandemic. So you put all these other people to work as well.
Correct.
It's been
a great partnership.
As we hopefully see this light at the end of the tunnel, how do you see this business evolving? Do you think people, like, this is now a part of their mainstay to think this way, to order this way, to work with these kinds of chefs? How do you see the business evolving moving forward?
Yeah, I believe so. I think we live in a relatively unpredictable world. We've got variants of corona that's going to come, and there'll always be a race against trying to get a vaccine for the next variant. Beyond that, you know, entrepreneurs have to think, do you really want to spend your life savings on 5,000 square feet for a restaurant on Main Street, not knowing when you're going to have to shut it down for a year, as we've just experienced? Or do you want to carve out the dining room and just do what you love, which is cook from a ghost kitchen, where instead of spending $30,000 a month on rent, you're spending $850 a month to cook the same meal and build your own brand? We think that this new way of sourcing meals is going to be there. Are folks going to go back out and eat once a week? Of course they will. But then the question is, what do you do to source meals the other 6 days of the week, right?
Right. So, John, tell everybody where they can find Din Din online and on Instagram.
So if you go to www.eatdindin.com, you'll find us. You download us on either iOS or the Google Play Store.
Excellent. Thanks so much for joining us. This is Nikki Nellis, Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec. And we're back on Foodie and the Beast with me, Nikki Nellis. Yes, David will be back next week. But for now, you just get me, you lucky people. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, it is all in the family sometimes on this show. Danny Karnoff is founder of MAPT. It's a locally sourced global food brand. It specializes in rare cuisines with really cool ingredients in ready-to-cook meals. Now, as I mentioned, since Mitch Berliner kicked off the show with us, as he always does, you can find Danny at Central Farm Markets, but she also happens to be my cousin, and I'm so delighted that I get to showcase what she's doing because I think it's amazing. Hi, Danny. How are you?
Hi, Nikki. Thank you so much for the kind introduction. I'm so excited to be here.
Absolutely. All right. So, Danny, let's just talk a little bit about your background and how you wound up at a farmer's market preparing foods, because that's not a natural path a lot of people take.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you know, we're cousins. We didn't really come from a big food family.
No. Maybe not your side of the family.
My side
of the family is a huge food family.
Are they? Okay. My side
huge
is not.
Huge food family. And just to tell you that when your dad proposed to your mom, he called my dad to help hook him up at restaurants in New York City.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I did not hear that story. But my side of the family, my mom does not cook. My dad does not cook. And I started getting into food from a really young age because they didn't cook. So I got into food when I was 8 years old, when kids were on the internet, I was there reading cookbooks. It's always been an interest of mine and I didn't really know what to do with it though. So I went to college, I went for the poli-sci track. And when I was a senior in college, I started traveling. I did a study abroad program in Samoa. And I lived in Samoa, and then I went and moved to Fiji. And I lived out there for 2 years, and I was living with local families. And I just realized that there was so much incredible food that I just had never tried before, and really unique ingredients. And it just really excited me because it was all those different types of stuff I've never seen. And I thought to myself, I'm like, how do I translate this? How do I bring these type of foods back to the United States? So I kind of made up my mission while I was traveling to learn how to cook these type of really unique, really rare specialties. And from Fiji, I went to China. And as we know, China has just the most incredible array of food. So I really dove deep into Chinese cuisine and I traveled throughout Southeast Asia and I went to Africa and Europe, and I just was focused on food the whole time. So after I was traveling, I came back to DC and I went into the international development track, but I realized it just wasn't making me super happy. So I started working at farmers markets on the weekends. And I actually worked at Number One Sons. They're pickle people. I'm sure you know a lot about them. But yeah, I worked for them for 5 years and it just made me so happy. So I realized, I'm like, can I make this my full-time gig?
So now how did you start creating your food? And I want to get to that because I don't want to run out of time. So you created this company and you're making meals that are ready to cook, not meals that are prepared to go, right?
So it's a bit of both. So I launched the company in January 2020.
Right? Good timing.
Yeah, great timing. But it was actually really great because it was just me and I was figuring it out on my own. So I started off at Mount Pleasant Market, and Mount Pleasant has been my home for 5 years. I was working for Number One Sons from that market. So they gave me a shot and they let me bring my food to the market.
But what did you bring? Like, I need particulars. Like, what kind of food were you bringing and how were you bringing it? Like, if I go to Central Farm Market today, what's there? What is there for MAPT?
So yeah, I'll tell you how I got there. So at the beginning, when I started, I was selling hot noodles, only hot noodles, Chinese inspired noodles. And once the pandemic hit, I thought to myself, how do I get my noodles into people's hands at home? How do I have it be just as fresh and just as delicious for people to eat at home? So I decided to package up everything I was doing at the market and put it into these boxes for people to prepare really easily when they get home. And it kind of grew from there. So from there, I started introducing a whole line of other types of foods. from different parts of the world. And some of these are also ready to cook. So all you have to do is boil our noodles and mix everything together for our noodle dishes. And there are signature dishes that we started out with. And then after that, I grew into heat and serve or cold salads. So all you have to do is heat it up and enjoy it at home.
So now, right now you're at the farmer's market. I know you're at Central Farm Markets. So like if we go today, mm-hmm. what kind of food is available today?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have our two Chinese inspired noodle dishes. We have a Kunminlan dish inspired from Xinjiang, East Turkestan, and it's like a spicy lamb noodle. Then we have our hot and dry Wuhan noodles. Ironically enough, I started serving these noodles. They're delicious. And then coronavirus broke out and everyone's like, "Ooh, Wuhan's really bad." And I'm like, "No, it's really great."
No, it's just an area.
It's just an area, exactly. So I have those dishes on my menu every week. And then otherwise we have a rotating selection of meals based on what we get from farmers. So we have this week, we have a North Indian inspired eggplant and potato curry dish. We have a Kenyan inspired green lentil coconut curry. We have a Senegalese inspired chicken yassa. We do a Greek garlic de borico, and you can find a bunch of other stuff. We do Mexican achiote chicken and a whole slew of other types of meals.
So how many meals do you come with every week?
Every week we bring 6 to 7 different meals.
So you have 6 to 7 different dishes, and are they, can they go in the fridge? Can they go in the freezer? Do you have to bring them home and eat them that day? How does that work?
Yeah, they're all fresh. So we recommend people eat them within 5 days of purchasing them. So they're all fresh. They just need to be kept in the refrigerator.
Got it. Okay, yeah. So now you've also launched a cooking club. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm super excited. So we are launching the cooking club. It starts just this Monday is our first class, and I'm mm-hmm. going to be teaching people how to cook some of these globally inspired meals at home. And a lot of people have asked me where I'm getting my inspiration from. How do I come up with this stuff? How do they make it? So I decided that why not share some of the knowledge that I've gained from all of my travels and teach people virtually. So we're going to have cooking classes once a month, and every mm-hmm. month we're featuring a different cuisine. And for people that are local, they can pick up a box for either 1, 2, or 4 people. And it has all of the ingredients ready to go in the box that you need for that month's class.
So tell us what's going to be on the class on Monday.
So this week we're doing a French-inspired Easter pie. And it's a rustic style pie that's filled with goat's cheese and spinach, fresh asparagus, and has whole eggs baked into the pie itself.
Yum, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's really tasty.
And so what do you see for yourself going forward? Like, it sounds like the pandemic really percolated the business and helped you sort of move it probably faster than it would have. So what do you see coming next for you?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I'm still figuring this out because it is so new and I am just going with it right now. We are focusing on our markets. We're focusing on farmers markets. We're now in 6. You can find us in 2 in DC, Mount Pleasant and Petworth, and we're at Pike and Rose, Bethesda, Mosaic with Fresh Farm and Silver Spring. So we're focusing on markets, and we're also focusing on our cooking club. And down the line—
So how many people are working for you?
Right now I have 9 employees. It's really blown up.
Good for you.
Thanks.
That's amazing. All right. So Danny, tell me and tell everybody where they can find you online and where they can find you on Instagram.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find us online at our website. It's www.mappedfoods.com. So M-A-P-P-D foods.com. And mm-hmm. our Instagram is mapped_globalfoods. And same with our Facebook. And yeah, you can find us online. You can pre-order if you want to pick what you want before it sells out at the market. And yeah, we're out there every weekend, so it's pretty easy to find us.
Excellent. Well, I love what you're doing. I love your ingenuity. I think it's terrific. I do think you should talk to the previous guest because it feels like there's some symbiotic things there for you. And I really appreciate you joining me today. And I enjoyed this show very much. And I want to thank everybody who's listening today for joining me. Just a couple quick reminders. Check out the list, areyouonit.com, the online e-zine. We list everything that we talked about today on the show, but everything going on in the DC metro area. All those Michelin stars are on there, the latest in brunches, patio pleasures, and of course, every event happening in the DC metro area. Please follow me at NYCCINELLIS on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I keep you up to date on the latest and greatest happening in the DC food, wine, and hospitality scene. Thank you all again for joining us. Please get your vaccine, mask up, hand sanitize, socially distance, and most importantly, have a delicious week.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.